Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Historical morning and maybe a hysterical one as well. The WhatsApp is open. 087 032 32 32 32 from everywhere. And the email is oliver@rte.ie. By the way, if I'm yelling this morning, it's because I've been up half the night. And is this what it's like to be the mother of a new baby? It's like newborn baby feels like Trump has been re-elected every single morning, all the time, every day, forever. Of course, most of America has been scared to sleep since July. And we want to hear from you today, wherever you are, however you feel. 51551, also for the text. Our WhatsApp is also open to voice notes. So if you did the all-nighter or the half-nighter, text there or record the voice note. 087-032-32-32. What do we know? Well, woke is dead, that's for sure. We now live in a bro universe where the mad king is king and where the cultural icons are Elon Musk, Joe Rogan and the boss of UFC, who's also just invented a thing called the Big Slap, which is exactly what you're thinking about and it's exactly how Democrats feel right now this morning. The men who are the personification of those kind of throbbing neck veins, they are our new masters of the free world. It's the coalition of hair transplants, fake tans, deep fried congealed egos and doing their sex face when the rockets take off. That's America right now, and the young men of America, they surprised us all. They put down their gaming consoles, put on the hoodie that hasn't been washed since Hillary lost, and they voted for Donald Trump in their droves, if that's the collective noun. It feels like a rage of young men. Of all ethnicities, of all colour in America, they voted for Trump. And if you want a vignette of how the culture wars have distilled down into this very moment, well, overnight viewers of Channel 4 coverage saw an election panel that comprised former porn star Stormy Daniels debating with the distracted and disgraced remains of Boris Johnson, while footage of Nigel Farage partying in Florida with Tucker Carlson were beamed in. And, you know, this is the moment where you go, I hope this is the Truman Show and I'm the star of it. None of this can possibly be real life. Look, I've done everything to be as objective as possible over the last couple of months, because I wanted to kind of examine this insanely divided election rationally. And I've sucked up all the abuse from the Harris fans and the Trump fans, because I've been cracking jokes at both their expenses. And I always felt that Trump would win because the world is just tilting on its axis to the right. We saw it in the European elections. We're seeing it in the conversations at home in Ireland. Let's be honest to ourselves. And so this morning is a stunning repudiation of the last quasi-decade of progressive left-wing causes and change. Woke has been battered around the place. And the Democrat fans, if you're feeling depressed this morning, it's not all bad. There's a Kennedy going to Washington, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I mean, he doesn't believe in vaccines, science or facts. He probably ate a dog once. He's denied that. And Trump has already announced in his victory speech that he will be in charge of healthcare for all Americans. And I think the quote is, he can do whatever he wants. We play that for you later. I'm trying to ease you into the day. So he's going to be in charge of healthcare, the vaccine denier, which is terrifying in an extremely limited and specific way. But it's a Kennedy. This is what you wanted all along, right? It's kind of a natural conclusion to that dynasty, let's face it. 270, that's the magic number. It remains so. Not the electoral college votes needed to win, but that is the number of coffees we will need to get through today. I joined the coverage around 3:30. I don't know where you were. It was too close to call at that stage. I was going, I've wasted my time getting up in the middle of the night after just a handful of hours. It's too close to call. It's too close to put your hand in your pocket to stop them from shaking. And someone came up and started talking about the promise of America. And the promise of America, let's face it, is that every 4 years you will wet yourself waiting for precincts and counties you never cared about any other time to give us some frickin' results. The first time you could actually tell what way things were going was side-by-side television images at exactly around 5:30 this morning, showing Harris campaign headquarters deserting. It was announced to loud groans that Kamala Harris was not emerging to address her followers. And that was a stunning moment. And it was very reminiscent of Hillary not showing up in 2016 to her campaign HQ in New York. And then the other side of the television screen, red-hatted Trump fans at HQ in Florida, cheering, dancing, living their best lives as the news came through that the former president was on his way to declare victory there. And the hats were as red as the maddeningly red face of Tucker Carlson, the sacked Fox News megastar who has now been remade, and he will join the bromance in the White House with JD. JD Vance is going to be the vice president of the United States. One of the youngest, I would say, if not ever, but certainly for a very, very long time. He's only 40 years of age. That's J.D. Vance. After the whole childless cat lady misogyny thing and defending those lies about immigrants eating pets in Ohio, which they carried with an enormous majority. Rory's in touch already on the WhatsApp. They have eaten the cat lady. And I think that's, is that a scared face emoji or it's a cat emoji? I can't tell. Good morning. How about some of your best Trump voice imitations on the significant day? Thank you, Tom Blake. The people are not ready for that yet. Callan's kicks. We'll ease people into the day, OK? That was 5:30 this morning. J.D. Vance, how could he face himself in the mirror, I wondered. And I just thought, well, quite easily, because in the words of the defeated Tim Walz, he's so weird, he probably doesn't cast a reflection, so he doesn't have to look himself in the mirror, J.D. Vance, just like Mike Pence. Then about 7 a.m., just before 7 a.m., Fox declared Pennsylvania for Trump. The Democrats shouted at their television screens, Penn State, you can go and get fracked. So she was going home, he was going to a party. If that didn't effectively declare the race, I don't know what would. Now, as I speak to you right now, the New York Times is saying Trump on verge of victory with swing state wins. The other headlines are, you know, he's declared victory. Basically, nobody has called this election for Donald Trump or projected that he's going to win it technically yet, except for Fox News. And they did this, I think it was about 7:15 this morning. This was the news that Americans were going to bed to.
The Fox News decision desk can now officially project that Donald Trump will become the 47th president of the United States.
The former president's comeback will be complete with a win in Wisconsin, a state that he narrowly lost 4 years ago. He is now the second president in U.S. history to win non-consecutive terms. The first was Grover Cleveland in the late 1800s. Senator J.D. Vance will become the 50th vice president of the United States. Voters express deep frustration with the Biden administration, and former President Trump and the future President Trump overperformed in urban areas, particularly with men, proving that the strategy that they doubled and tripled down on over the course of the last few months absolutely succeeded and brought him back to the White House.
He's there. It's the men. It's the men that did it. We can blame them. Incidentally, the Democrats are blaming Joe Biden already this morning. They can't seem to face up to the fact that the candidate was pretty rubbish. So officially and technically, the race for the White House is not fully counted. It is projected Trump's going to win, according to Fox News. And that's the very, I mean, if you just look at how miserable the Democrats are on all the news programs overnight, looking like bulldogs licking a wasp who's licking a nettle. That's the vibe. It was joy once. Now it's that. Trump outperformed everywhere, better than 2016. New York Times were giving him a greater than 90% chance of winning from 4 o'clock this morning. And he got the young men out to vote, the Gen Z bros who wouldn't usually leave the room to put the bins out. They came out to vote, to use the McDonald's analogy, which is so important in this campaign now. The greasy fingered fella, he's supersized his support from two previous elections, and he won the states. He was expected by a much bigger margin. That meant he will win the popular vote. There'll be no questions that he is going to be the 47th president. He will also have the US Senate to do onto America what he wants to do. He will have the US House of Representatives as well, just as he did in 2016. But he's going to frack, deport and fill his cabinet with so many nutty ideas that anyone with a peanut allergy in the vicinity of Washington, in the hemispherical vicinity, is going to need to stockpile the EpiPens. But, you know, it's not so. He's just going to be the leader of the free world until 2028. Then it's just J.D. Vance for 8 years. He'll be the kind of, but anyway, 47th and most angry president in the stunningly awesome comeback. The first man to win two, you heard your one on Fox News there, two non-consecutive terms. That's Grover Cleveland, who will be trending, I'm sure, very shortly. The first since the 19th century. And given the air of commentary on women in the race, it kind of felt like the Victorians are still around there for a while, didn't it? Even if you are a dedicated Democrat and you hate Donald Trump, the comeback is astounding. I mean, he's 78 years of age in a race that was about age, let's face it. He's been convicted of criminal charges. He's lots more charges pending. Most of those are now not going to affect him at all, except for the one in Georgia, because that's a state one that he won't be able to affect. Written off entirely, a man who smashes all conventions, all parameters of normal debate and discourse and anything that's regarded as decent broadcastable material. He's been way behind in the money. He's had the weight of Hollywood, the American media establishment completely against him. He leapt up from an assassination attempt and he won. He has won this. It is utter humiliation for the Democrats and the word salad, Kamala Harris. I know I annoyed so many people by saying constantly that he was going to win. My gut just was telling me Kamala Harris couldn't win this race because nobody felt she was any good until July the 21st of this year when Joe Biden fell apart. And she wasn't going to convince enough people that she was a figure of substance and stature because she spoke words out loud. And her whole shtick was, who are you? I'm not Donald Trump. What are you going to do when you're in power? I won't be Trump. Do you have any specific ideas at all? Yes, I do. I promise I will not be Donald Trump. And, you know, part of me thought maybe she was going to win because I thought it was such a mad punt to focus only on men for the last week in Trump's campaign. And it was a mad punt, but it worked. This is America. How do you have three times more money than your opponent and lose to this guy? And you've got Bruce Springsteen, Taylor Swift and Beyonce on your side. Do they have no currency at all? It's like going to the Olympics full of steroids and Skittles and you lose an egg and spoon race to a field of people who have just left a dinner dance at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's what this is like. There's a WhatsApper saying, I'm boycotting the radio this morning, such as my utter despair at the horrible prospect of four more insufferable years of the delusional clown, not watching or listening to any news. I'm done. And there's lots of exclamation marks and question marks, says John. Well, sorry to hear that, John, but look at, we've been here before. He had all this power before. I know they're all saying he's much more organised now. Is he? As a woman, this is another message. As a woman, I think in a strange way, it's a good day for women because it shows us when we make a great achievement, it's not just because we are women. Bad women can lose too. We don't just succeed because we're women. Well, Kamala Harris made the campaign as a sort of a, this is not about gender. I'm a better candidate than him because I'm not him. So I think she tried that. And Hillary ran as we need a woman president. That didn't work. There are culture wars and there are social media algorithms at play here that we really need to consider as well. As I've been saying, we have Trump fans in Ireland. Oh, it's vanished off my screen. But someone was saying we need a Trump kind of candidate who's also in the election in Ireland. That's an Irish listener. Love him or hate him. It's another message. The people have spoken. It is the American people's voice that matters. We can be as sarcastic and satirical as we want, but the American people crave change, says Jerry. Well, is it change if you go back to the guy who's already been there? Remember, he was changed in 2016 because he wasn't a politician. He was coming from business and so on. And I mean, we can certainly say the American people have decided fair and square. It wasn't the Russians who did it. It wasn't Facebook. It wasn't the red states were lied to by the news and the internet. It wasn't because someone didn't visit Wisconsin. There are no excuses. Voters in America knew everything there is possible to know about Donald Trump, and they preferred him over Harris because, and insert all your pre-cooked reasons, immigration in the Biden term, the price of Doritos in your supermarket, because they wanted to hit back against progressive left-wing politics. I mean, he wins fair and square. This is democracy. John Stewart, who's a brilliant commentator, he has hit both sides throughout this whole race. He finished up his live broadcast this morning just before the projected wins that Donald Trump looked like he was going to win. This is what he said, and he's always quite measured.
Here's what we know, is that we don't really know anything, and that we're going to come out of this election and we're going to make all kind of pronouncements about what this country is and what this world is. And the truth is, we're not really going to know. And we're going to make it seem like this is the finality of our civilization, this and thing. We're all going to have to wake up tomorrow morning and work like hell to move the world to the place that we prefer it to be. And I just want to point out, just as a matter of perspective, that the lessons that our pundits take away from these results, that they will pronounce with certainty, will be wrong. And we have to remember that.
There you go. That's John Stewart there. And there's another message coming in. Oliver Callan Show, please don't call Kamala Harris rubbish. Thank you. That's Anne from Westport. I take your point. I don't mean it personally. She's a political powerhouse. She was rubbish political candidate. Do you know? She's just lost. I mean, it's kind of been proven. Don't feel too sorry for her. She is a multimillionaire and she will make millions out of losing the race, just as it's been proven. Every other presidential candidate, they write their book and they get their... And everyone else has to go and deal with the consequences in terms of people working away. I mean, this was her. I felt this was the moment of many when she wasn't doing any interviews and they said, why isn't she doing interviews? And they thought it was clever because she might make mistakes. And she did make mistakes. This was her in The View, the woman at the show that's targeted women in the mid-afternoon. What was she going to do differently with Joe Biden?
Would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had impact.
There is not a thing you come to mind, and you're running to be president. I thought it was extraordinary. Look, the Democrat Party, it still comprises half of America. They have all the major, you know, powerful figures, the Clintons, the Obamas, the big names of a powerful base, the major celebrities. And what about those kings and queens of the cultural establishment? What are they saying overnight? Nothing. We have searched for 2 hours. No Tay-Tay, no Bay-Bay, no boss. Where are they? No Kamala. She left all of her supporters who stayed up all night, who worked their backsides off for months in a short campaign. And she had a massive ground operation. And what a slap in the face not to show up. Her decision to finish the campaign with the celebrities on SNL on Saturday at a big concert last night when the polls are still open. You're Katy Perry, Oprah, Lady Gaga. What are you thinking? You have to get the vote out. You don't go to a party to celebrate something you haven't won when people are still voting. Now, I can tell you who are talking. The Bro Universe, who are our new masters this morning. The king of rage bait, who we've discussed in this show. The king of misogyny in the world, Andrew Tate. Do you know what he tweeted this morning? I'm moving back to America. So he's saying that's now a welcome place for him. Of course, he's under house arrest. You're going nowhere because you're on trial in Romania for lots of charges, which he denies, and he will be facing trial as well in Britain after that. Elon Musk, who moved to Pennsylvania, and he risked a lot on this. He said the people of America have given Donald Trump a crystal clear mandate for change tonight. And he tells his Twitter followers, you are the media now. In other words, he believes he's defeated the mainstream media. He might well be true. Jake Paul, he's a big YouTuber and one of the bro figures. The truth and God won in America. It's a massive step in the right direction to heal the major issues going on in the world. America is saved. To the Democrats, I hope some see the truth won in this election. Voting for a bad orange guy is an emotional decision and not the truth. I see some of my Democratic friends are freaked out. It's not your fault. Try to use more discernment in media and start by telling the truth to yourself first, and then the world will become more clear to you. Now, let's all unite and work towards building a better America. So he kind of like stirs the pot and says, let's all unite after I've like punched you in the face there, in the truth face. Okay, listen, Donald Trump, he spoke for a very long time this morning. Let's listen to a little bit of his opening speech. He was quite emotional. And at least for once, he spoke the truth at the beginning when he said he's probably won this thing.
Thank you very much. Wow. Well, I want to thank you all very much. This is great. These are our friends. We have thousands of friends on this incredible movement. This was a movement like nobody's ever seen before. And frankly, this was, I believe, the greatest political movement of all time. There's never been anything like this in this country and maybe beyond.
OK, we're going to break down more of Donald Trump's speech and what this means, I think, culturally for America as well as other matters. We're going to talk to Lorcan Nine, who have been chatting about this election for a couple of months now. I've been sort of being the thinking man Ivan Yates to his PR reviews of various campaigns. We'll have a chat of that. And Nine, our regular US election commentators here. Good morning, Lorcan.
Morning.
Or is it this field afternoon? Were you, did you do an all-nighter, half-nighter? How'd you?
I did a course. Yeah, you have to keep going, have to watch everything. It was absolutely essential, you know, every single count, even though there's only 2% of each precinct in, you needed to know what it was and where it was going. So we did the all-nighter and we kept going. And look, absolutely fascinating. I mean, when you're into this stuff and you're into human behaviour and you're trying to work out, right, well, what message is going to work here? What emotions are they trying to pull on? What thesis are they putting forward? What voters do you think will resonate with it? Analysing campaigns before the campaign is one thing. When you actually see the effect of it, it becomes fascinating because you can see, okay, who got it right? You're operating in a bit of a vacuum.
Because yesterday, it felt like the Democrats were very confident. Mm. They were saying nauseously optimistic was the kind of phrase that was going viral. And, you know, they had that party in Philadelphia. You know, they were quite happy. They were quite joyous, weren't they?
The mood music coming from the campaign was tight, but we're relatively happy where we are in each of the states. And look, ultimately, that was not right. Look, nobody should be really waking up overly shocked at this result. Like, they really shouldn't be, though, because any analysis that anybody has done on the polling said it is close. But what close in polling means, it could go 3% one way or 3% the other way. Yeah. Look, ultimately, it's gone about 4% the other way to Trump. But
the third election in a row the polls have underestimated his support.
But see, they haven't necessarily underestimated him. It's been this one, the other two times, wildly. This time, it was within the margin of error in the states that were properly polled. I mean, that were in-depth, the swing states. James Carville, the Democratic strategist, was saying yesterday, it's always more likely that all the swing states go one way rather than the other. Now, he thought they were going to go towards the Democrats. He thought that Kamala Harris was going to win. But it wasn't unlikely that they were going to break in one way. So it's not this huge shock. Yeah. And I think to be shocked by it or to be saying it's a disaster or it's an awful event on the other side is to underestimate Donald Trump as a political figure. I mean, the Democrats could have, you know, resurrected FDR and ran him and Trump would still get 46 or 47% of the vote. He's a phenomenal political figure. He has this ability to cut through. He's an ability to speak to the fears, the angers, the angst, the emotions of his audience, and he's an ability to make people trust him to a level that is genuinely very, very impressive. Now, it was the extra percentage that the Democrats had to play with that they failed to get, that they failed to win over for a variety of different reasons. But Donald Trump was always going to be effective here. Nobody should be shocked by this. This isn't Monday morning quarterbacking either, because anybody who was actually analysing this election wrote this down in some way, shape or form.
I mean, I would imagine in America they're pretty shocked, the Democrats, and that whole cultural movement behind Kamala Harris was about joy. It was about abortion rights, women's rights, getting women out. We saw that poll in Iowa that seemed to indicate older white women were now going to actually switch their vote from Republican values towards Kamala. I mean, how is it all? Was that all wrong?
Ultimately, yes, because you can see from the result that it was wrong. But if we delve into some elements of those and analyse them, the reason why that poll cut through so much is because the logic underneath it is what Democrats thought was going to happen. Okay, women are breaking on the abortion issue. That makes sense. It happened in the 2022 midterms. That was the argument that the Democrats went for. Now, once Biden pulled out, they had very few options of what argument to go for. You know, the immigration, they were never going to win people over on. They tried to close the gap in the economy. Ultimately, it didn't work. Perhaps the polling showed it had. Obviously, it didn't. So they only had democracy and abortion. The strategy made sense, but ultimately, they tried to speak to that emotion. Sometimes Democrats try to speak too logically. Yeah. There's a guy, Drew Reston, a political scientist, who says that it's all about the emotion you elicit, not the argument you make. Sometimes the Democrats love the old logical argument rather than the emotional one. They did try an emotional argument, fear of what Trump will do to you.
Fascist was a big word for the Democrats.
And they made an attempt to connect it to the everyday life. But ultimately, people looked at it and said, either, you know, I'm actually not that scared, or yeah, I'm a bit scared, but I care more about inflation and I trust Trump because he's been around for a long time being a businessman on inflation. And when you really delve into the figures, I mean, it's fascinating. I'll have weeks and weeks of enjoyment of this. Like, who voted where and what are the demographics? But when you break it right down, Oliver, the big shift that happened here was with Hispanic men.
Okay.
So yeah, Hispanic men massively changed in this election from 2020. Biden, now this is exit polling, we can't be sure, but the best that we had 59% of that and Trump had 36. It switched this time. Trump got 45%, no, Kamala got 45% and Trump got 53%. So that's like a huge, huge shift.
And of course that Puerto Rico disaster, it looked like in Madison Square Garden, where the comedian at the Trump rally said Puerto Rico is the island of garbage. And we thought that was going to affect Latin voters.
It had absolutely no effect. And we all fall into this. We delve into individual moments and maybe lose sight of a wider narrative.
Campaign, yeah.
You know, there's just something that if you're a political commentator, you always keep in mind. There was the 1980 election when George Bush Sr. was running against Reagan for the primary nomination. And Bush won, I think it was the Iowa caucus. And the NBC political correspondent looked down the barrel of the camera and said, "We have just seen the political obituary of Ronald Reagan." And I think anyone listening realised that was not the political obituary of Ronald Reagan. They looked at one moment and tried to extrapolate across a whole trend. You can't always do that. You need to step back. Sometimes we delve into the detail a bit too much. While the trends for this, they haven't massively shifted in hindsight in about 12 months. People were not happy with the economy. They defined the economy as inflation. They were unhappy with immigration. They linked that to Biden. They ultimately then linked that to Biden's vice president.
There was a weird logic that if we vote for the guy who was in charge when things were a bit cheaper, we would magically go back there. I was cracking the joke that it's like saying, you know, things were cheaper when Pat Kenny had the Late Late Show, so let's bring him back in.
Yeah, and I think why it happens in a way it might not happen for every politician is we sometimes forget, I suppose, we're not immersed in the culture over there as much. Donald Trump has been on the airwaves as the kind of epitome of the businessman for quite some time. So if you remember the prices being lower and also remember that, hang on, isn't Trump the business guy? That kind of makes an emotional sense to you.
Yeah,
well, we had
yeah,
the businessman, prices were good, therefore put the businessman back in.
And that's about as engaged people are often in politics. Listen, I want to bring in the voice of John Fitzpatrick, who is awake in the middle of the night in America. John is, of course, a well-known, prominent Irish-American over there. Worked in his father, brothers, sisters. Everyone worked in all of those Fitzpatrick hotel groups, Irish hotels, moved to America. Good morning to you, John Fitzpatrick. A Democrat, I should say, basically, is a long-winded way of doing it. How are you feeling today?
Well, good morning, Oliver. Well, we're not feeling great, I'll be honest with you. Very disappointing results so far. And, I'll be honest with you, we all hung around the bar in the hotel earlier this evening. You know, I think everyone had hope and that there would be a change. And as the evening started, it didn't take too long to kind of bring the a bit more somber atmosphere to the place. Yeah, it's just very disappointing, you know.
I believe the dollar is bouncing very well this morning, and that taps into that feeling that Donald Trump was going to be better for the economy than your gal.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Look, I think I can see it already moving, and that we expected something like that because for some reason I just think Trump is going to make everything go up in the markets, and it will probably in the short term, but it'll settle down again. But I think the big disappointment too is, you know, this is our second chance to put a first lady,
yes,
first woman, yeah, as president of the United States. We tried it with Hillary Clinton, and you know, I feel like it's turning the clock back to the same thing. You know, it just didn't happen, and you know, we were so hopeful, especially with Kamala. She was such a young, you know, vibrant, and said she was bringing in the young vote, and that's what we think the difference was with Hillary Clinton, that, you know, she didn't get the woman's vote, where, you know, all thought Kamala was going to get, not alone was she going to get the women's vote, but she was also going to get the young vote in, and that just didn't happen. So, you know, very disappointing, I have to say.
The Democrats and the Democratic movement, and you're involved in that whole big family, they must be bewildered this morning and wondering what is their future, because it kind of almost ceased being a political party. It just became the anti-Trump movement and it has failed.
There's no doubt about it. The Democratic Party will have to sit down and regroup and do it. And I really think they've got to reinvent themselves, because, you know, this is not just the first election. It's happened before. And, you know, it's not just Trump winning. You know, if you look at the polls, it was meant to be really close all the way. That's what we've been told. But when you see the results coming out, but I think the worrying thing about it is not just Trump becoming president, is he's got the Senate, probably has the House.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to worry about now checks and balances, to have one person to have so much control, if it's Donald Trump or whoever it is. You know, it's nice
and
to have
Supreme
checks
Court
and balances. And that, You know, yeah, and the Supreme Court as well. So I'm saying to you, total control. So that's the worrying part that I look at this morning is how that play out,
yes,
you know?
He's total control in a democratic fashion anyway, we have to say. This is a big moment for Irish America, isn't it? Because Joe Biden was that last great Irish American with a direct link to his ancestors here and an eye to this part of the world. I mean, it's terrible for his legacy as well.
It is. Look, he was a great president, you know, and okay, maybe he waited a little bit longer than he should have, but you know, he had so much loyalty to Ireland and loved Ireland, and I could see why he was holding on. But you know, it's right, we've lost the Irish connection. If you look back on it now, you know, where are we going now? Because you know, Donald Trump, yeah, he's got some interest in Ireland, but nothing like Joe Biden or his family or anything like that. No. It goes back a long time, back to the Kennedys. So you know, Ireland is a little bit of a loss, and then also too, the rest of the world needs to look. They'll all be worrying this morning. You know, you've got to think about what's he going to do with Ukraine. What's going to happen? You know, there's a lot of it's bigger than the United States losing tonight. It's the rest of the world. See what's going to happen.
Yeah, J.D. Vance, he's an Ulster American, but.
Yeah, there's it. But you know, that was another point somebody said. You know, God forbid something happens to President. You know, if something happens, we've got Vance to, and you know, he's another loose cannon as well. So it's going to be it's going to be an interesting 4 years. Let me put it this way.
Lorcan, do you have any thoughts for the Democrat? Well, we have John on the line for the Democrats. You know, like their feelings.
For their feelings. I think there's a lot more to be worried about dead than hurt feelings. No, look, the Democrats are going to have to go back and look at it. One of the interesting things I talked about, that is Hispanic vote. And there's a book called Steadfast Democrats that basically looks at particularly why do black Americans consistently vote for the Democratic Party. But you can apply the lessons from it to the Latino community as well, where it was basically done on identity. Kind of, if you are Hispanic, you vote Democrat.
That's what
you do. Yeah. And that's going back a long way. That's obviously breaking down now, because it never really made full sense. Because if you look at the voting groups, you know, they obviously are very different, not just based on their identity. And they can be more conservative. They can look like traditional Republican voters very, very often. If that's breaking down, the Democrats no longer have those two coalitions ready to go. So they do need to look and say, right, what is our new coalition going forward? Because the hope this time was that women would turn out not at 54%, but at maybe 56% for Kamala Harris. That was the only way she was going to win, given the losses of men. That didn't happen. Exit polling says it's the exact same as what Hillary Clinton got. They didn't get that extra 2% of women. She increased with college-educated women, but not by enough. So they're going to have to look back and say, hang on, what's our coalition? Therefore, who is our audience? And now, who are our new leaders?
We're talking about young men and how important they were in this election, because that's who Donald Trump was speaking to in those closing weeks. So let's speak to one of them, Daniel Bednarak. You're from Arizona, Daniel, is that right?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
And you're 19 years of age, you're in Ireland. What are you doing in Ireland?
I'm studying abroad right now.
You're studying abroad, which is Ireland for us. So what are you studying, by the way?
Computer information systems and business.
Oh, very important, this election as well. Daniel, your view, did you get to vote, first of all, in this as a kind of a overseas mail-in ballot?
So actually, I've been in Europe since August, or actually May. I got in Ireland since August, and I actually never got around to voting since the mail-in ballot. I had to do the mail-in ballot, and I never got around since I've been way too busy. I've been focusing on myself, enjoying my life over here, getting away from all the craziness. So,
but you're pretty pleased this morning, I gather.
Yeah, I'd say so. So far, I mean, anything can change. Like anything can change, but in my personal views, I would say so. Yeah.
Why do you think it's better for America that Donald Trump has won? For you, as a young man, presumably planning to go back there.
Yeah. So under Kamala Biden, America has gone tremendously down in their economic system. The inflation rate has gone way out of control. Younger generations are looking to buy houses, and the housing rates, they're just going out of control. There is the future for Americans is starting to scare younger generations for, well, the GDP is supposed to show, you know, life gets easier, but for the first time, younger generations are, the amount of money we make is actually not corresponding to how much we're spending, and life is actually becoming harder.
Okay.
For younger generations.
And at 19 years of age, do you watch the mainstream media? How do you get your news and information?
Yeah, so actually, last election, I felt like I was more consumed into the media. And yeah. I actually voted, well, I didn't vote because I wasn't old enough, but I actually wanted Joe Biden to win because okay. I wasn't happy with the way Trump handled things. Mm-hmm. But as I learned some critical thinking skills and came to college, I learned most of the things that I thought were based because of what the media told me. You know, the media really tries to show Trump's presidency as pretty awful, but his track record actually shows to be quite impressive. Yeah. There were no new wars under Trump.
Where do you get your news from now?
Currently, it's more independent research.
Okay.
Yep.
That's podcasters, YouTubers, that kind of thing.
I think Charlie Kirk. More or less, in some articles here or there, yeah.
Charlie Kirk is one of them, I gather.
Yeah, so actually, I've been following Charlie Kirk, and I think he shows the younger population. He tries to get to the younger population in colleges.
And he's a conservative, and he talks about the Christian values. He's also a climate denier. And was accused of COVID-19 misinformation. But look, Daniel, I'm thank you so much for taking the call this morning, and thanks for giving your view, and the best of luck with your studies in Ireland.
Thank you so much. Yeah, just personally for me, my Christian values held closer to Trump. So
there you go. That's another reason.
There you go.
But it was economy first and God second. Thank you so much,
Daniel.
No,
God's always first.
God's always first. Thank you for that correction. Lorcan Nyan, thank you so much as well. And John Fitzpatrick is on the line. Good luck and have a bit of a sleep there for yourself. We're